The lives of the ferry operators are folklore in some areas. Bill and Cheryl Brooks, Tony Edwards, Laurie Clifford, Lorraine Waite share some of the memories of their lives as operators.
Yeah, you'd always get that ferry stare, you know, and even when you moved into another house, you'd always have that ferry stare. I think it took about 5 years to grow out of it. Watching out the windows for cars, looking to see if there was a car at the ferry. We were sitting down in the lounge room, where we going? You'd have people there sitting around visiting you. They'd end up looking for you because they'd be all going like that too for cars. But it'd be like having dinner with somebody and then you just have to get up and go and get the car because it pulled up. There was no rest for you. It was rain, cold.
I liked it, yeah, but it's long hours, 7 days a week. And so on your own, you're tied up there for about 14 hours a day in the summertime. You've got no way of getting to town to do shopping. You can't leave the place with no one around.
Originally, when we worked Wardell Ferry, we had a boat, we had a rowing boat. The only foot passengers we were allowed to take on the ferry were the nuns. These nuns used to come down to the ferry, see, and they used to want to come over, and they asked me would I take them for a row in the boat, see. I said, no, I'm not allowed to. And if he saw me taking a foot passenger over in that ferry and not rowing him over in the boat, look out, boy. And I said to them, I said, well, he reckons it's dangerous because you've got your habit on, you could easily get tangled, see. And they said to me, they said, it doesn't matter, if we fall in, we can swim out. I said, I hope you can because I can't get out. Anyhow. I kept asking him, and he said, all right, he said, but make sure it's high tide. I took them for a row in the boat, and they were so excited. He said, how'd they get them getting out of the boat? I said, mate, they're as agile as a cat. I said, they flew out like birds.
One particular time, there was this couple kept coming over here, and they were photographers but bird watchers, and I liked them. And I invited them to stay one night, and Alan and Neil were horrified. Well, they come back for years. In the end, they went up to our farmhouse when they'd come back. One year, there were 3,000 bushpikes came through. And they were with some big rally for some charity. They didn't all use the ferry. I think I only had 97 come over. Well, they all come for water. There's no shop. And I knew they were coming, so I'd ice them. But they're all fun. They're lovely people, you know. You get a postcard from ministers and priests and people from overseas and that. But often I'll have them in for a cup of tea. Not a lot of them, but you tend to know on first appearances if you like them and can trust them and that. I've only ever had one theft here in 11 years and that was on the ferry one night.
There have been some tragic events and many amusing incidents witnessed by ferry operators and users.
The relieving ferry sank on the 26th of January 1951. There was a cyclonic storm on. It resulted in a big flood. And I went to the window and looked down at the ferry from where we lived, which wasn't very far, and it just tipped and went down. Couldn't believe my eyes. Bill McCormick had collected a whole lot of cattle from a farm down the river to put on the ferry. Now, all those people along the north side, around the Kilgan area and Buckendean and that, they flooded very badly in those big floods, and they almost all owned property out the Pacific Highway, and they would all want to round up their cattle and get them across the ferry as soon as possible and drive them out there when it looked like a flood. That it wasn't the usual ferry, which was a much bigger ferry. It was a small relieving ferry. And Bill got his cattle, and he and another young man that he had working for him, they drove these cattle onto the ferry. And on the ferry as well was a Mr. McGregor, who was a ferryman, but he was off duty. And in the cabin was a lady from just up the road who worked in the post office. His name was Mary Robinson. Angus Arthurson from Corakai was the ferryman. Now, they told Mary to shut the door into the cabin because of all the cattle on the ferry. And with the pouring rain and the wind, coming from one direction, the cattle all ran to one corner and the ferry tipped and went down. They weren't a long way from the shore, and Bill relied on his horse to swim him to shore, which it did, and Angus Arthurson was able to swim to shore, but you see, Mari didn't get out, so she was drowned.
Grandparents with their grandchildren went on the ferry, and the grandfather went out and talked to the driver while the car was standing on the ferry. And if somebody touched the handbrake, it's never really been established, and the car rolled forwards and went through the gate, and in them days the gate didn't have the same safety hooks we got these days, and the gate sprung open and the car went in front of the ferry, and the grandfather went after it, and they all drowned.
Well, we even got a scare there one day on the Lurgurina. And they got a phantom phone call that there was a bomb planted. So we rush into stopped inside there. We yelling out the toll collector, open the gate and everything, and he couldn't make out, well, Bobby Watson, I think. He's coming down right down the end of the ramp. He said, "Hey, can't hear you, can't hear you." And the boys yelled out from the bridge. And we raced around to the driver and said, "There's a bomb on the boat. Get off as quick as you can." But they were taken off in top gear, they were. Yeah, that was a bum steer.
Day may seem the same, but it's always something makes it different. We're fishing at the river, right? And you got a phone call from the police.
Oh, yeah.
To tell these.
Yeah, I was up at the house and they were down at the river. And I got a phone call from Swan Hill Police. And they said they had a stolen vehicle heading in our direction, and could we obtain them until they got there? Right, we had Moolamine coming from New South Wales side, and Swan Hill were behind them. Anyway, by the time I got down to the ferry, this stolen car was already on there. So I sort of had to try and get on to the ferry and grab Bill as he was opening up the gate, and sort of told him that the car was stolen and that the police are on their way from both directions, and that we had to keep them on there for as long as we could. So, he was lucky that he had a couple of friends and they were fishing, so they were on there as well.
Fishing from the ferry,
very handy. Yeah, so... But they were armed with a big shifter or something.
Jumped out of the car. Yeah, we stopped in the middle and said, "You'll go anywhere, suckers." And then when we saw the police pull up the other side, we took them across.
Yeah. They had to drive off. They had no option. There was no turning around.
Put them at their place of destination. They were facing towards the police. And there you
go. Well, I know a lot about the Ashby one because I used to cross it every morning on my way to work to Ashby Dock. At one stage there was only one rope on the ferry, the driving rope. They couldn't have two because there was a lot of... rock and that down below, and the rope would catch on it. Two would catch, well, it could sink the ferry, so they only had one rope. And one day the rope broke, and the operator immediately threw the anchor over the side. He didn't have the other end tied on. So the ferry drifted down the river, and the anchor's gone. He lowered the boat and jumped in it, and it had no oars, so the ferry was on its own.
It's just so... funny to see a ferry drifting down the river with a load of cars on it.
So you were actually on the ferry?
Yeah, it was loaded up with cars.
And it was floating down the river?
Yeah, because it only had one cable on it. So I said it'd last a couple of more days. I wouldn't want to put it on before Christmas anyhow. It didn't last to Christmas Eve, that was it.
The bloke said to Ray, "Will I throw the anchor out?" And he threw the anchor out, but it wasn't tied on the other end.
The anchor's still there. This day, I think, prawn trawler come towed into the bank. There was no danger or anything.
The first day we got the job, there were no floor coverings, nothing here, and we were bringing stuff backwards and forwards, and it was Easter on the Good Friday. And on the Easter Saturday morning, I walked over to that door, the window there, and I looked out, and I saw a car driving around in the water. I thought, "I must be seedlings." I'm not telling them I saw that. So I never said anything, and I went and made them sandwiches and David came in real excited. He said, did you see that amphibious car out there in the river? In the weir? I said, oh, crikey, I'm glad you saw it too. I said, I thought I was seeing things. So that was funny. There's a chap local that's got one of those amphibious cars, that, and he often races me across this chap. When it's full, Peter will beat me by miles because the ferry doesn't go as fast as that. And another day I had people on the ferry in two cars. We're all talking. Peter comes down the hill and he goes straight in the water. Well, there's a man on the ferry. He let a scream out of him. He said, someone's brakes have failed. You know, it was just Peter diving in to come across. I was honestly thought I was seeing things. I was in the horrors or something.
While today there are only a small number of vehicular ferries still operating in New South Wales, they continue to serve local communities and are increasingly becoming popular tourist attractions, providing a nostalgic reminder of a more leisurely pace of life.
The vehicular ferries were a great meeting place because they had a line drawn across behind the cabin, and for morning going to work, that from that line back to the flap was completely filled with bicycles. I mean, it didn't cost you anything to ride your bike across because you're a vehicle. And, of course, you'd line up there 5 minutes before the punt was due in, and you'd talk to all your mates and you knew everybody. And then when you got on the punt, you yarned all the way across. And it was a great meeting place. But once the punt stopped, you lost that personal touch with other people.
The ferries actually add a degree of atmosphere to the place. If you've ever been at the Barara Ferry Crossing on a Sunday when it's, you know, a nice sunny day, it really adds to the character of the place. I think most people go there for a nice Sunday outing, and just hopping across the ferry and going to the other side, just as I said, adds atmosphere to it. The majority find ferries a source of annoyance because it's a slow way of getting to where you want to get to. But I think when you sit back and think of it, it's an interesting part of history of New South Wales that people tend not to think about until it's actually gone.
Even though I always loved the ferries, they were always a friendly thing to me because their chains would clank in the night time and it was just a friendly thing. And then if you were confined to bed with any sickness or anything, you could always look through the window and see everybody going and coming across the ferry. It was good. As a child, it was always a friendly thing to me. Yeah. And my family always used to say they'd never see a bridge in their lifetime. No. And it was, you know, an amazing event to see such a huge expanse of water so successfully achieved by having the bridge built. Mm-hmm. I think everybody was really terribly grateful for the bridge because it became such a nightmare.
Oh, yes,
down at the highway there to get across.
It almost created a lifestyle change. That's no right. longer did you have to plan a trip to town. You could just decide and go.
We crossed the river. It was grand, that tiny ferry worked by hand. We thought that it was fairyland, our first ride on the ferry. 1906, we could not know just how that tiny craft would grow, how often we'd go to and fro on our commodious ferry. On show days packed in like sardines or like a pod of lima beans, I never will forget those scenes when crowded on the ferry. In flood times, ferries could not go. The river all did all overflow. To cross the stream, you must now row. We could not use the ferry. The hyacinth, a sight to see, but what a pest it proved to be. The floods came, pushed it out to sea, no more to plague the ferries. We talked a lot as we did wait, just listening for the opening gate, and late for church, as sure as fate, had we just missed a ferry. A happy day to everyone, blue skies may softly shine the sun, a new era has begun, and farewell to the ferry.